Well, I've got another story about fisheries and fisheries management. And the real problem these days with fisheries management is that what a government decides will be best for conservation may not actually be best for the local people that rely on that fishery, and it may, in fact, end up harming the fish stocks in the end. A study published in the February edition of Scientific Reports has shown just this in a Gulf Corvina fishery off the coast of Mexico. I spoke to the author, Brad Erisman, who explained why the fishery is vulnerable and about the work that the researchers carried out there.
So the fishery all revolves around this breeding migration, this massive fish migration of millions of huge fish coming into a river mouth to breed and to spawn, and the fishery has been harvesting that migration for over a century. It's very productive, but also it's very susceptible to overfishing because it's actually harvesting at the moment the fish are trying to breed. We know that the behavior of this fish is very vulnerable to collapse. The fishermen have known this. The fisher scientists have known as the manager. So everyone's been very worried about that, especially because its larger relative, a very similar fish but much bigger one, the Tatuaba, has been known to do the same set of breeding migration in the early part of the century, and it was collapsed due to overfishing, and it was actually the first marine fish listed as an endangered species worldwide. So we already have a history of collapse, and we know how the story will end if something isn't done. So in response to that, people have been trying to get together to try to come up with a solution.
And what was the actual data that you collected?
We collected a lot of data. One of the things we did was actually doing something called a vessel monitoring system. So you track in real time the actual movement of boats. And we did that not only to understand the fishing intensity in really fine scale spaces, the scale of meters, but also to understand the migration of the fish and how the fish move in and out of this river mouth to spawn. We also collected really detailed information on the landings, how the landings and the effort of fishermen changed on a daily basis, and also how the biology of the fish changed on a daily basis, whether they were spawning or not spawning.
What are the impacts of the results that you found?
Well, the impacts were that the fishing activity is synchronous with the spawning activity of this fish. And that can be, from first glance, very troublesome to think about because the potential impacts on the population of the fish could be very negative, could cause a collapse and has been known to. But the important point is that we've identified the scale at which this is occurring. It's a very small area and it's a very brief period. This migration and spawning is basically a 3 to 4 day period that coincides with the moon cycles. And so by identifying the exact moments, time, and space when this is happening, it really gives the foundation for building a sustainable management plan. And because it's so finite and so predictable, we think that it's really feasible to build something. And a management plan that can include fishermen, as well as the benefit of the fish and the species itself.
So the local people and the local government are keen to take this scientific data on board?
Yeah, I think the importance of this is historically, there's been a disconnect between the resource users and fishermen and government in terms of a cooperative management scenario. And we know from worldwide experience that cooperative management and inclusion of the resource users, the fishermen, is really key to successful sustainable management, whether it's bridging conservation issues and economic resources together. And so this has often been absent in this region of the world. And so we thought this was a good way to increase the transparency in management, in science, with fishers and resource users involved, because it bridges the communication gap, increases their confidence in science, and increases their confidence and willingness to participate in management. So that kind of coincided and paralleled the actual scientific part itself.
So while the main results of the study are simple, the implications are not, as Brad explains.
In the one hand, the paper shows that very clearly that all the fishing pressure is during the most vulnerable point, and actually it occurs inside a no-take refuge. And so you can look at it as something that's all about illegal fishing and all these different things. But at the same time, you realize that the way the fish move in and the way the law is set up, it really gives very little opportunity for the fishermen to fish. So I think of it more as, yes, look at it as more as a positive spin in that we've identified the issue. But now is to try to change things to make it more sustainable, but also in a balanced sustainability, because you have to balance sustainability of socioeconomic livelihoods and fish. And sometimes things are swayed one or the other. We're trying to harvest the fact that even though the fishermen they're all very well aware that they fish illegally. So it's like 90% of the capture was inside a no-take zone. But they really have no alternative, and it's a very complex story due to market problems and political problems, but at the same time, they're willing to risk that because they want to participate in the building of better management.
So we have a difficult case here where this no-take zone is being completely ignored by the local fishermen because they have no choice economically but to fish there. Brad's point that one of the things that we could take away from the study is that these fishermen are doing something illegal that's harming wildlife is perfectly valid, but he wanted to bring out the issue that clearly the locals want to be involved in decisions on helping to preserve the fishery because it's their livelihood. And now that we have more information on exactly where and when these Gulf corvina spawn, hopefully this will help fishery scientists, fishermen and local governments come to a decision together that they all agree on.
Yeah, it's the big challenge with fisheries and marine conservation in general to bring everyone together who's involved in as you say, using the ocean and protecting the ocean. And hopefully we can come to a point where we can all figure out what's the best way forwards.